This is 560 GAM.
Travelocity presents The Roving Gnome, Denouncer of Travel Myths. Our first myth, if you fly for the holidays, you won't be able to afford a summer vacation next year.
Oh, for sure. With Travelocity, you get a great fare for holiday travel, plus a discount on future air travel.
Myth number two, trips to San Francisco could be unwise for those who are unfamiliar with the city's many areas that cater to the kinky tastes of those of an alternative lifestyle.
Oh, donkey balls. I know this city like the back of my closed hand. I'll be getting off at the next stop, Mr. Trolley Driver. I can't wait to see the Bruce Lee Film Festival.
A guy like you better be careful, you know?
Oh, it'll be all right. My God, it's foggy around here. I can barely read the signs. Oh, this must be it. Fist of Fury, my favorite.
Oh, thank God. You must be the dwarf they sent from the agency.
I'm not a dwarf. I'm a gnome.
But I don't care if you're a pygmy. Get your ass in there. You're late.
Why are you pushing me? Is this the theater?
Well, I do know they're filming. Hurry. Great, the dwarf is here. All right, deranged proctologist, scene one, action.
Well, come on, boys. Hold him down. It's time for the examination.
My pants! My underwear! My God!
So visit Travelocity.com/San Francisco. Even if you travel during the holidays, you can afford a trip out west.
No, you can't afford it. I think I'm engaged to a man.
Where are you, little friend?
Oh, God, not again!
It's 11:50, 10 till noon. The Palmetto was shut down in both directions, and I was just about to give you the story on why and what's going on in some kind of investigation.
And then what happened?
The Sun Sentinel screwed my whole computer up.
Those bastards.
There's something with that website. Haven't I told you that before?
Yes, you did.
Well, what's their story?
Which one?
Everyone, now I got to, like, reboot my computer here and look about it and the whole deal. Anyway, here's the facts from Daryl in Sarasota again. It says, Neil Rogers and Bob Lasseter at the same time, the greatest day in South Florida, Southwest Florida radio ever, thank God. No problem, Daryl. Thank you for sending along that fax from the other day.
Right.
That is great radio.
There you go. It would have been greater radio if the phone line wouldn't have been so bad. It was not a good line. That's why, like...
No, it was rough getting it going.
I'm going to get Bob on longer, but it was not a great line. It sounded like we were both in some kind of a barrel.
I could hear a hum.
And here's another fax that says, that was huge of you, so to speak. If you save one life, it's great. Hopefully your own. Best wishes to Bob and his family. It's only radio. Have a good day. Yeah, it's only a radio show. It's a radio show. It's not life. It's not real life. And when people have problems, you know, they transcend all of this crap that we do on the air and all the silly, the simpletons out there with their calls and their little noises and their, you know, some of you people really belong, I would say a rubber room, but that would be too good for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, what is wrong with you, man?
Listen, what? You don't think he would loves it when you use his drop?
I'm sure he does,
right.
And I'm so
Wouldn't
glad
you?
That we talked. I can't
right.
begin, I feel so much better now. Because people that know me, see, this is another thing, because, and I've told you this many, many times, but it bears repeating. You watch somebody on television or you listen to them on, and in fact, radio is so much more so, because on television you see somebody, you know, facially and mm-hmm. you get the body language. Radio, you hear a voice. And even if you know what the person looks like, and believe me, most of us have a face and a body for radio, but you don't know the person.
Right.
It's a radio show. Well, there's one person we do know.
Don't.
But that's another story. Oh, listen.
To mow him is
when do we get
him.
To that?
I beg your pardon?
When do we start
well,
on that?
Well, next couple of hours. Boy, you're just jonesing, aren't
chomping
you?
Chomping at the bit, boy.
You just want
to
do it.
I can't eat bread, so I have to do
a
something.
Bash
chomping fest. On that bit.
Well, no, the fact of the matter is that the worst stuff that he does is not on the air. I guess he's used to pulling all the shenanigans behind the scenes and making threats and storming around, you know, Mr. Bluster, which is my new name for him. It's a bunch of crap. And only the most weak-kneed and inept management would tolerate the kind of stuff that's gone on here the last 4 years. I've been doing this a long, long time, maybe too long, but I've never encountered anything like this. This isn't just a case of, oh, two guys who don't get along or see eye to eye. This is a case of just massive interference. See, this is the reason I've got both those two people on my list, the people that I despise and wish evil things. I'd like to have voodoo dolls. Because when people interfere with your life, the one person took 2 to 3 years off of my life, made my life a living hell in my career, and the other person tried to destroy George, let's see, I mean, should we go through the list, and in my career. when I dropped the bomb, but I mean, and then had the nerve to sit down and admit both things to my face and then try to apologize. You know, so it's like stabbing somebody through the heart and say, oh, gee, I'm sorry, let's do lunch.
My bad.
Yeah. They don't hold any water with me. And if you think I'm going to make up with that beast, blah, 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 that little piece of crap. You know, I don't know how anybody goes through life being at war with the entire world. It just, how can you survive that way?
I don't know how anybody could call the beast little.
Well, he's 5'4".
I'm short.
That little tub.
Not on your
crap.
Back, you're not.
At any rate. So that was amazing, astonishing. You see, just like Bob says, you never know who's reading your blog and you never know who's listening to. We got some people listening on the internet, so I'll tell you that.
That's correct.
Yeah. No, I think he's probably listening on the air in Boca. He's still driving around in circles looking for where Wolfie's used to be. Now, maybe we'll let the beast do the last 2 hours because you seem to be all juiced up for a slugfest. I would love to see you and the Mole Meister slug it out in the hallway.
Oh, man. Sumo wrestling.
You'd probably be punching his kneecaps.
They could be sumo
wrestling. I wouldn't let him touch me because I don't know what's on his hands.
Sumo wrestling, huh?
Yeah, Beast of the Sioux.
Yeah, a boy named Sue.
I got a diaper.
In fact, instead of like ragging on him all the time, why don't you rip your mother on here? I think that'd be a good idea. George and I have been doing that for years. Why don't you start? Beast was telling me before the show today about his mother.
Was he?
And the force feeding and about the fact that she weighs about 18 pounds and about when... what did you say when you were 4 years old? You weighed how much?
I don't know how much I weighed. I was a chubby kid.
And Mama sent him to Weight Watchers when he was 4 years
old. I was
old,
in, like, groups. I was in, like, all sorts of help groups for, like, 4-year-old.
Mommy has made him neurotic about being fat ever since he was, like, a little child. So, as most all you people that have weight struggle know, the more neurotic you become about it, then the more difficult it is. It's, like, almost impossible because you become obsessed with it. That's all you really think about.
Although
most people, at least they get on the scale. Now, did you get on the scale a second time, or was that just the one time?
How much are you going to ask of me? I mean, a second time?
That's right. He had to heave his carcass on
yesterday or this morning.
I'd have to walk upstairs for that. Come on.
Might lose 5 pounds on the way.
You are just brutal. Anyway, I'll look at the Sun-Sentinel. I'll see if I got my thing back on here and see what the deal is. Palmetto is shut down in both directions, and then there's this other thing
where they
crashed. Did you see the crash and all the crazy spectators interfered with
the Palmetto is open now.
The Palmetto is back open now?
It's back open. They exploded a device. They thought it was some sort of device. They exploded it.
I see.
It's open.
Beauty. 11:56 on a very astonishing day at QAM. Don't forget, coming up at 2 o'clock,
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
And this portion of the Neil Rogers 12 to 1 hour is brought to you by the letter 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 slices of pizza. All for me.
Coming up tonight, an inside the behind the true Hollywood celebrity music biography profile story. They have an amusing story of how they got their name. And that's about it. They... We're Hootie and the Blowfish.
We had these two friends.
Yeah.
One we called Hootie
because he looked like an owl.
And the other one we called the Blowfish.
Yeah, because he was always puffing out his cheeks.
Bandmates Darius Rucker and Mark Bryan just told us the complete list of everything interesting about their band. Well, thanks for being here, guys. It's a big, juicy something.
No, man, wait. We did the Saturday morning cartoon show about a sponge named Hootie and his blowfish pal.
Yeah, we brought a clip.
Yeah.
Look out, blowfish! That school of mackerel is gaining on us!
Oh, holy mackerel, Hootie!
You didn't really do a Saturday morning kids show, did you?
Nah, we just made the clip to bring to the interview.
Yeah, we didn't want it to be over so fast.
I see. Well, then. Is that it?
Oh, wait. Did we tell you the story about our friends?
Yeah. One called Hootie and the other one called Blowfish.
Yes.
Well, that's all we've got.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
Hootie and the Blowfish. You heard them. They're done. It's a big, juicy, sopping wet look at show business. Tonight, on Inside the Behind.
Excuse me, but I do believe that sucked ass.
I think I'm just going to play that for 2 hours.
All right. Okay.
How's that?
Oh, I like it.
Or we'll just, I would just put the beast on to rip his buddy for 2 hours. That's a good idea. I can go take a nap.
He's raring to go, man. He couldn't even stop for the break.
Well, you know something? After, I got a couple of things here, and then I'm going to let you do what, say whatever you want. And of course, the problem with him is he always promises to deliver something like really outrageous, and he never says anything.
I have to be poked and prodded.
Well, I'll let yours stand around, like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Look for the QM van right now at the Hess Station at 107th Avenue and 41st Street in Doral. Stop by to drop off a new unwrapped toy for the Big O's Holiday Tour Drive to benefit Miami Children's Hospital. It is really
rock solid.
107th and 41st Street in Doral. The van is there till 2 o'clock. So bring your toys. Well, not those kind of toys. We know our crowd. Screaming mob traps driver after SUV and child collide in Miami. Police and fire officials say they're furious over an accident that quickly turned ugly when a mob gathered and impeded the rescue of a youngster who collided with an SUV. If this child dies, it's on the head of a lot of these people who are acting in that fashion, one police officer said. Bunch of rubbernecking idiots, man. If there's one thing I hate about rubberneckers, it's that they're still alive. According to officials, the driver of a red Chevy Blazer struck a 6-year-old boy near Northwest 2nd Avenue and 69th Street around 6 o'clock last night. An angry crowd quickly gathered, banging fists on the car and then kicking and banging on a fire truck when it arrived. They also got in the way of a rescue worker trying to help the injured boy. The driver, Marie Medjean Andre, 25 of Miami, had stopped the SUV she was driving after the accident, but was trapped inside by the shouting crowd after they started kicking and punching the vehicle. Paramedics waited for the police to arrive, but officers had to call for backup to disperse the crowd, said Miami Police Department spokesman Delrish Moss. I think the biggest thing is that rescue couldn't get to the child. You have people who are pretending to act responsibly, but rather they're acting like a mob of criminals, Moss said. If this child dies, it's on the head of a lot of these people who are acting in that fashion, like lunatics. Police said it appears the child who hasn't been identified darted in front of the vehicle. He was transported to Ryder Trauma Center at Jackson Memorial in extremely critical condition, and the investigation continues.
Barbarians.
What is that all about? Why do people act like crazy people?
They're animals. They're barbarians.
I see. Here's the facts from Jerry in Bonita Springs, who's one of our good faxers, who actually faxes when he's got something to say, as opposed to, like that. You know what I'm saying? Bleh.
What do you say?
Well, first, let's take a look at that poll result, man. Last thing most guys want to be called is Mo. We should have put that on there. Boy, that's, I think, the worst shot you can get.
Be horrible.
1637, fag 408, my bitch 245, the P word 195, coward 138, a loser, 132. Effeminate, 95. Whip, 55. Fat, 53. Beast, fat. You fat little pig.
Oh, I know.
Wimp, 53. Liar, 42. See, some people now, you know, use it as a shot. I use it because I think that's about the only way you can get through to some people, saying, boy, you are really fat. You're like a pig. And then some people get frustrated by that, and they go out and get a half a gallon of ice cream, eat more, get fatter. Wimp 53, liar 42, a-hole 34. Oh, to live the day where we could actually say that on the air. You know, I think I was the first person in the USA who started saying that on the air.
First person I heard.
And then Phil started doing it, and it just everybody and their brother started doing it. The Mr. Ego started doing it. Dumb 34, how about dumb a-hole? Dumb 34, a phony 31, ugly has got...
About 30, man.
Pretty 18, what a pretty boy. Fruitcake 15, cheap 15, a wannabe 15. Boy, this business is loaded with them. Crook 15, scrawny 8, beautiful 6, and gorgeous has got none. The big, so far. I think we got a shot at 1,800 votes on this during the show. Of course, we started, what, like 5 days ago? I could switch over to tomorrow's poll, but I'll do that in the last hour, okay? I think, now you like the one I did for tomorrow, right?
Oh, I forgot already. Oh, no, yeah, I remember I liked it a lot, though. I forgot what it was, but I liked it a lot.
ABCD, I don't want to give it away.
Right, no, don't.
Anyway, here's Jerry in Bonita Springs says, Neil, I've been a talk show junkie for many years. See, we always liked Jerry up until we found that out. I don't admit this to just anyone, so please don't tell anybody. Oh, he was just kidding. I've never called a talk show. Oh, now you're starting to redeem yourself big time, Jerry. I guess I'm a long-time listener and no-time caller, to which we say,
all right.
I don't want to be a pain in the ass. As in,
rectum.
I've listened to some people in the business that I thought were remarkable. Just for example, Reg Cordick of Cordick & Company at KDKA, 1020 on the AM dial. Those are the days, baby, with the Pirates and Bob Prince at night, and Reg Cordick & Company in the morning, and Bob Collins and Wally Phillips at WGN, Chicago. You and Bob Lasseter are by far the two best in the business. I'm really not sucking up, he says. I first heard you in 1984 when I spent winter in Key Largo. I listened to you every time I came back to visit. Then I moved to Tampa. Oh, poor Jerry. The first time I heard Lassiter, I was hooked. I couldn't believe there was someone this good in Tampa. He was on WFLA then. He became number one with 10 and 12 shares. This was his peak. At the local pub at happy hour, everybody was discussing what Lassiter had said that afternoon. I wish you could have heard those WFLA shows. After Bob returned from Iowa and went to WSU, after we dragged his fat ass out of the cornfields and went to WSUN, I was happy again. Then SUN started simulcasting your Miami show. See, now let me just interject here, Jerry. The reason they did that is because Cox Broadcasting owned that station. They had bought it for whatever reason. It would be like buying a fur coat and not knowing what to do with it. Well, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
In Florida, buying a mink coat, but you don't know what to do with it. And same thing. They bought SUN, and they had no idea what to do with it. So, well, as a last gasp, we'll slap this crap on for Miami and see if it works over here. It says, now I had died and gone to heaven, Jerry says. I had the two best in radio right there on one station. When Bob started doing the morning show, it didn't work. I know he just said he enjoyed it, but it didn't work for me. It was like he was trying to force the comedy. He's not a funny man. He's a deep man with a sense of humor, but not a funny man. I know you can't go home again, but it was great to hear the awesome voice of the past. Thanks, Neil, for putting Lassiter back on the radio, however brief it was. Jerry Benitez Springs. Thank you, Jerry. You're okay in our book, okay? He's back to us again some year. Now he's good. Right?
Right.
Maybe we'll take a call or two. I promised I would turn it over to the Beast, though, for a little bit. Now, what is it that you want to say? How would you describe this tremendous rift? How did this come about between you and one of our very favorite nudges?
Where did it come about?
Yeah, you started out. He came on. He was doing the 6 to 9.
Right.
That's when Greg. Nice going, by the way, Greg, sticking me on there at 9 o'clock in the morning when other people were listening to all their other morning shows. Nice job, baby. Mess with success. If it ain't broke, try to fix it. You clown, you fool, you silly.
You fail.
Yeah, Greg. Oh, anyway, so you're on there 6 to 9 producing the show, right?
Yes. That's right.
You were booking the guests. What?
Go ahead. I was booking the guests. Grieper was running the board. And I had struggled. I'd worked the phones to try to get some guest he wanted. It was like the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Or whoever, Mike Malarkey is now the coach of the Bills.
Sounds like a pile of malarkey to me.
Yeah, I got him on the air. And actually, no guest ever calls in early, but this guy called in early. He's like, hey, I'm free. Can I go on now? It was like 2 minutes early. So
two minutes.
Yeah, I said, hey, yeah, we'll put you on. So I, go in Howard's headset. Hey, we got Coach. Go to him now. And he goes, I know we got Coach Malarkey on the air, but let's go to Jose in Hialeah. And they had like a 5-minute phone call about nothing. And that's when I realized this guy knows nothing about doing a talk show.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I just sold it in from there. Because I said, how am I working my butt off for a guy that's going to rail me like that?
Yeah. Beast didn't send me a New Year's card.
And what happened after that? I mean,
then he started to hate me, and I hated him, and it was great.
And
then he would go into Josh's office and say that I suck, and there was meetings about trying to bring people in.
Well, Josh probably
already knew
that.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. But, they'd have meetings about what producer they wanted to bring in and replace me and all this stuff.
Now you must know the story, the real story behind the story about Zach. Because do you remember the day that Zach was in there, and I was talking to him from here, and Clarence came in there and just about put his hand over his mouth. It was like he was operating a marionette, like he was pulling the strings and doing the voice, like a puppeteer,
yeah.
Making him say only what he wanted. What was the real story there with Zach?
I think Howard felt like Zach again, like everyone else who ever worked for him. After a certain point in time, you can't do anymore.
Guy's a coconut.
You just mail it in because you realize no matter what you do, it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
And Zach, I think, felt the same way. And then Howard, this guy's not working for me. He's lazy, da-da-da-da-da, and,
Maybe he's just like fat people.
He hates everybody.
Maybe Moe's got a thing about fat people, which, quite frankly, he could lose a few pounds in that fat ass, too. So that's it? I thought you were going to go on a...
But I realized why I hate him. I thought we had a toupee story somewhere. No, we told
a toupee story. Yeah, we did a toupee story.
I realized why I really and truly don't like him.
Yeah.
Because I'm jealous.
Well, jealous of what?
Six figures and a two-hour time slot.
Yeah. How do you know how much he makes?
Try.
I don't have any idea how much he makes. And I see, with me, I know this may come as a shock. I have no idea how much Hank makes, how much Mad Dog makes, Moe, any... And you know what? I don't care. It's none of my business. I'm just not a yenta. I'm not one of those people. Oh, did you know? What do I care? I'm making a pretty decent buy. I have no complaints about the money or my schedule or the vacation days. I got no complaints about that, especially not having to be there. And this is no lie. And this is about the truest thing I could ever tell you. My not having to be there, and I don't mean just in that radio station, although that's a big part of it, not being in South Florida, to go back to what Bob said about Florida sucks, That's got to add years to my life. How do you like that?
Eat your heart out,
Troy Stratford, who's waiting for my Corvette, which he ain't going to never get, but he's waiting for me to croak. He wants me to will it to him.
Will you?
If I'm going to leave one of my Corvettes to a bald guy, that's the guy I'd leave it to. Of course, it might have something inside, but nevertheless. 1213 at 560. Speaking of vehicles, the truth is when you dare to compare, you'll see why Ford is the best-selling brand of vehicles in the USA. In South Florida, the only Ford dealer to shop at is Armstrong Ford of Homestead. The holidays are here. Now, maybe your car was damaged during Wilma, or maybe you just want to get a great new ride for the holidays and for a long time to come. Well, now's the time to get on down and see our good friend David Rich, and let David put your ass behind the wheel of a new Armstrong Ford. Right now at Armstrong Ford of Homestead, they got fantastic offers and incentives. Get $1,000 cash back or financing as low as 0% on a Ford 500 or Freestyle. Get $5,000 cash back on Explorer and Expedition. How about $2,000 cash back on Escape and $2,500 cash back on Focus? Certain restrictions apply. When you buy a Ford from Armstrong Ford, you'll get their exclusive Tires and Batteries for Life program on top of
all these things.
That's right, Tires and Batteries for Life. David Rich and the staff at Armstrong Ford of Homestead guarantee you they'll bet the beast life on it. They give you the best price, and because they're locally owned and operated, they will treat you like a member of their own family because they want to make you a lifelong customer. You won't get a better deal on a Ford, so if you want to go shop around, waste your time and gas, but the smart thing to do is call David Rich at 305-247-5112 and tell David you want the Neil deal. Armstrong Ford of Homestead, they're at 30725 South Dixie Highway, just 20 quick minutes south of the 836. Check them on the Wicked Web, armstrongcars.com, and drive a few miles extra to save a potload of money, man, at Armstrong Ford of Homestead.
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
All the slime, all the time.
Oh, Hawaii at last. Now you can get a little peace and quiet.
Hiya, Mo.
What are you doing here in Honolulu?
When I heard you were here, I flew right over and dressed up like Connie Stevens, just for you.
Well, you're forcing me to do this. Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
Doi, doi, doi. Doi, doi.
12:19 at QAM. Don't forget the Mole Meister himself to give you a few of those that nobody else can do like he does at 2 this afternoon. And then we got Joe Z, but the less said the better. Does 30,000 mean anything to Bush? How many?
About 30, man.
By Matthew Rothschild. I do have a few bedtime stories here, although the Beast did leave one thing out of his little rant there, which was fairly short, like him.
Yeah.
And that is that he wants that gig. He wants 2-4.
Without a doubt.
Now, how did it go that day that you filled in? Which I don't even know if he knows about that the one day you filled in for Mo, 2-4.
Went okay. It was pretty good.
Job. Get some decent calls?
Yeah, some pretty good calls.
Did you talk about the Ginger and Fagadorn and Henrietta?
No, I didn't bring that up.
Oh. Well, maybe it would have gone a little bit better if you would have done that.
Right.
See, I don't really give a crap what anybody says, because I get to pay the same regardless. As long as it's on a reasonable side of that line, that big, thick line that anybody with half a brain would understand. But when people are trying to get the other people fired, it's like the George thing. And this is what I said at the time when I got that embarrassing call from Greg Reed that day. I mean, it was just unacceptable. Oh, congratulations on a great book, Neil. And by the way, I've decided to terminate George Rodriguez. And I said, what? What? And it was kind of like an afterthought. He didn't decide anything. And I said to him, this is a guy who's got a wife and two kids to support, and you're just based on somebody throwing a tantrum. And, of course, they denied that was behind it until a certain person admitted to my face.
Let me
tell you the reason. That was the day that, did you come in, Beast? And you're the one.
Probably.
And you said to me, Mo wants me to invite you to come in to wish him a happy birthday. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Wants to invite you to come in and wish him happy birthday. I said, forget about it. And then you said, oh, but he also is going to tell you why George is still here. Well, see, that piqued my curiosity because that opened up the avenue for an opportunity for him to admit right to my face that all along, in spite of the denials of mid-level flunky management, that he was behind all of that crap. And, of course, that was on the heels of those emails that you sent me, that you faxed me, being the bastard that you are, George.
Right, that everyone had in the building had copies of it and were going all around. Right.
Which were most amusing, by the way. But, again, if you have thin skin, you don't belong in this business. You can write all the emails about me all you want. I couldn't give a crap. Who cares? But if you have thin skin, you don't belong in the business. And so right there we start messing with it. That's where I draw the line. That's where I draw a real big fat line when people start pulling strings behind the scenes. And anybody who knows me, this goes back to what I said before, because I got interrupted myself. Because you're on the air doesn't mean anybody knows you. It's a radio show. And the people who really know me well, which is a very small number of them, they know that off the air I'm not anything at all like I am on the air. And I'm you know, a pretty decent human being. I take pretty good care of my friends. I do the best I can, and I'm my own business. I'm not running around behind the scenes. In fact, one thing about me, and George can verify this, at IOD, when the little hand hit the big hand at 2 o'clock, I was out that door like a flash.
Yeah.
And the same thing there. I mean, I was gone like, exactly. Like I was kicked in the ass with a bowling ball. With a bazooka. Because one thing I don't believe is hanging around and stirring it up and all the yentas, all the crap. I'm not into it. Who the hell cares? It's like any other business, man. The office gossips, the yentas, and generally speaking, those are the people with the least amount of talent. Those are the people who are insecure and looking to, like, stab everybody else in the back and get this one fired and all this other crap. When you start messing around with people's livelihoods and their careers and their life, at that point, that's when you piss people off. And that's the kind of thing that people on this radio station should stop tolerating right now. It's been going on too damn long. This one's got to be fired, and that one's got to go on another show. Yeah, based on what? Based on the fact you got a temper tantrum today and you woke up on the wrong side of bed? That you're a miserable SOB who can't get along with anybody on the face of the globe? Except maybe your wife, who I feel really sorry for? Good golly, Miss Molly. You know, when the hell is somebody in that place going to take the bullcrap by the horns and, like, it's pathetic. Just sad. I mean, the line of people, the long line of people have been trampled over by Mr. Bluster. Anyway, like I said, so the Beast wants that show. That's what I started to say. Right. Well, you want to talk about that?
Oh, he's bringing me my food right now.
Well, let's just make sure he brings you all of it, okay? And doesn't, like, intercede, like Dom DeLuise with that Chinese food and Fatso, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just bring you the empty bags and the chicken bones.
Huh?
Yeah, now what are you eating today, a sandwich with no bread?
I just have some soup.
Some soup?
Some chicken soup.
Excellent. Very Jewish and good for you, okay?
Yeah.
I'll give you some real good screaming PM. So I was starting to ask about it. Yeah, you said to me you wanted that show 2 to 4, you and Curtis.
I wouldn't mind, you know, Curtis and the Beast, 2 to 4.
Yeah, and then you can make enough bucks if you go out and plunge your guts, because by that time probably the slots would be gone.
I could hit them in the morning and the afternoon.
I see. Leaving just time in the late evening for a quick encounter with your lovely fiancé, and then back to business again in the morning.
Well, we could just meet at the casino. That's fine.
And there you go. I'll tell you one thing, a little tip from me, and it is a good time to go is early in the morning when there's almost nobody there, and you can look for a... You know what you look for early in the morning?
What's that?
A good...
Machine?
A good machine, man. That's it. There were two Jamaican girls walk by me last night, and she said something about, oh, that machine, and I almost fell off my chair. I guess I'm the only one who got it there, of course, because I'm sick and proud of it.
That's a good machine.
On Monday, for the first time, President Bush acknowledged that his Iraq war has taken a large toll on the Iraqi people, but he fobbed it off as if it were nothing. Taking questions after a speech at the Philadelphia World Affairs Council, Bush was asked right out of the chute how many Iraqis have died. Here's the exchange. Question. Since the inception of the Iraqi war, I'd like to know the approximate total of Iraqis who've been killed, and by Iraqis I include civilians, military, police, insurgents, translators. Bush, how many Iraqi citizens have died in this war? I would say 30,000.
About 30, man.
More or less have died as a result of the initial incursion in the ongoing violence against Iraqis. We've lost about 2,140 of our own troops, over 2,150 now. Bush may have severely underestimated the total number of Iraqi dead. Iraqbodycount.net estimates that a minimum of between 27,383 and 30,892 civilians alone have died as a result of Bush's war, but it recognizes that this civilian count, which it bases on published news reports, is much lower than the actual figure. Our maximum, therefore, refers to reported deaths, which can only be a sample of true deaths unless one assumes that every civilian death has been reported. It's likely that many, if not most, civilians who died will go unreported by the media. That's the sad nature of war. Then there's the John Hopkins study from November 2004 in The Lancet that puts the death toll above 100,000 Iraqis. If that figure is correct, Bush is off by at least a factor of three. While it's a relief, I suppose, to know that Bush understands that his war has killed at least 30,000 Iraqis, does even that figure mean anything to him? He acted as though it was a totally acceptable number. In fact, as David Sirota has noted, Bush in the very next breath made a joke as he interrupted the next questioner to say, "I'll repeat the question. If I don't like it, I'll make it up." The White House transcript reads, "Laughter and applause." That's the definition of obscenity. To segue from the deaths of 30,000 Iraqis and 2,140 U.S. soldiers to a poor attempt at humor is to reveal a frightening callousness. Kind of reminds me of that routine you did for the press luncheon. Remember
right.
That?
The WMDs?
Yeah, no WMDs here. I'm sure that the parents of all those dead soldiers and the other ones that are like hanging on by a thread, I'm sure they really find that most amusing.
Right. They were laughing hardest.
What will it take for Bush to grasp the meaning and the magnitude of 2,140 dead U.S. soldiers and 30,000 dead Iraqis or more? He has said over and over again that he came to liberate the people of Iraq and deliver them the gift of freedom. By the way, they're voting like crazy over there, including a lot of Sunnis. I just mentioned that they extended the voting hours. But he didn't liberate those 30,000 or those 100,000. They didn't get to unwrap their gift, or if they did, it blew up in their faces. Each dead Iraqi has a name. Each dead Iraqi leaves a family that will never be the same again. At what point does the president acknowledge the horrific pain he's inflicted on the people of Iraq? Mentioning a mere number and then blithely moving on doesn't cut it. Such indifference permitted the mass killing in the first place. It shouldn't be blanketed over them again. Matthew Rothschild writes for The Progressive. At any rate, probably another one of those commie pinko, doesn't love America, and he's hurting our troops. Oh, speaking of that,
other important issues of the day is
White House announces plan to rebuild them levees. I'm surprised we got any money left to do that in New Orleans, aren't you? And especially why they want to do that. Too many dark folks live in there anyway. They don't vote for Republicans. It's that most... Am I doing the right... Yes, I am. Oh, I get panicky. That most wonderful time of the year, unless you hate this time of the season because of the crowded malls, the long registered lines, the parking hassles, the crazed shoppers, man. So make your gift-giving a lot easier for you and your loved ones by giving them a Dial-A-Mattress gift certificate. When you call 1-800-MATTRESS, you can order a Dial-A-Mattress gift certificate, any denomination, and a new bed makes a perfect gift that'll last them for years. Every time they do something really salty on it, they'll think of you. Or sugary. When you call 1-800-MATTRESS or choose from Sealy, Serta, Simmons, King Coral, Stearns & Foster, Hewitt, and Tempur-Pedic. Maybe you suffered some damage from Hurricane Wilma. Maybe you need a bed for those last-minute uninvited pain-in-the-ass holiday guests. Whatever, call 1-800-MATTRESS. You'll get same-day delivery from 8 in the a.m. till 10 p.m. You still get to pick the date and time for delivery to fit your schedule. And Dial-A-Mattress is mighty proud and well ought to be of their record of being on time 99.7% of the time. They're ranked number one in the world in customer satisfaction. I've been using them for a very long time, and you ought to do the same if you're smart. Before those guests arrive, just make that one easy call, 1-800-MATTRESS, or log on to mattress.com. Dial-A-Mattress, 1-800-MATTRESS. Leave off the last S because it stands for...
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
Ow.
Absolutely.
If he came back for Christmas, what would Jesus do? Tell Christians to kiss his ass. If he came back for Christmas, what would Jesus do? Remove their bumper stickers and tell Christians to kiss his ass. If he came back for Christmas, what would Jesus do? Find a pair of pants, remove their bumper stickers and tell Christians to kiss his ass. If he came back for Christmas, what would Jesus do? Slap Bill O'Reilly, find a pair of pants, remove their bumper stickers, and tell Christians to kiss his ass. If he came back for Christmas, what would Jesus do? Close Walmart down. Slap Bill O'Reilly, find a pair of pants, remove their bumper stickers, and tell Christians to kiss his ass.
Rectum.
All right. Trump 34, 26 till 1. Happy generic holidays to you. Merry Chinooka. Happy Christmas. First
right.
Noel.
Summer solstice.
Et cetera and so on.
Winter solstice.
Winter solstice. Right. Ramadan. Yule. It's never too late to start celebrating for next year. Happy Purim. Tisha B'Av, et cetera.
Oh, but you're interfering with our plans to celebrate the birth of the Lord.
Yeah, right. Your mama. Not many calls on the board. Not a single one. And you know what? That's okay. It's fine with me. You, now, wouldn't you have thought... Of course, I realize that there are a lot of people out there who don't know who Bob is and have no clue what I was talking about before, in addition to which this is way out of our ordinary line of yuck, yuck, yuck. But, you know,
no, it's all part of the soap opera.
It reminds me of when the Stern groupies would call, like, at the after some tragedy, like 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and they'd call into CNN pretending to be somebody else. This is the fire chief, and what do you think of the Stern show? You know, mm-hmm. see, there are times when you do that, if it's not something like really life and death, and it might be very funny. In fact, they also did it on the day when the Challenger blew up.
Baba Booey.
Yeah. And you're dealing with people who are so sophomoric, such morons, and I don't find any humor in that. None. Zero. It's pathetic. These are people who never grew up. You know what they remind me of? Ken Block.
Oh.
Ah, yeah. Lot of that. You know, the guy may be like 60 years old by now. He's still calling up once in a while. Ah, lot of that. And we'll never stop.
See, you say never grew up, but I don't know children that would think that was funny.
Well, I'm just saying. In other words, he reached a certain point of maturity, and I use that word very loosely. I single him out, even though there's plenty of other to join that. Ah, lots of that. You know, like this is his trademark. How about the gargling guy? How many years is he going to be doing that? Like that, you know.
With his last breath, it'll be
Really?
Yeah.
In other words, that's a medley of his material?
Have you heard anything else?
Never. Well, although the last time he did, like, embellish it a little bit, he said a couple of words
foreplay,
before
yeah.
that. And I think he was probably encouraged by that Mo promo, you know, where Mo said, ha, 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 I like that guy, ha, 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 like that.
Maybe
that?
He's on the verge of something.
On the verge of what? Nervous breakdown?
Yeah.
We can only hope. Who, the caller or Mo?
Either one.
Now, look, I've said all there is needed to be said. There's nothing more, and anybody can deny all they want to deny. The fact of the matter is that there are more shenanigans that are trying to be pulled behind the scenes, and when people start harming other people on a personal level, that's where the crap stops. That's when it stops being radio or just a radio show, and when it starts being unacceptable. And in, like, most real businesses, that's when it starts being a fireable offense, you know? But nevertheless, this, again, is not a real business. It's more like monkey business. It's Greg and his circle of inner core of butt-lickers, and that's what QAnon always has been and always will be. Like you said, and I think you summed it up from the very first day I walked into that place, a sports bar with a microphone. Leave it to little George to come up with a classic line. Now, it's not a radio station. It's a sports bar with a microphone. And like when Clarence came in before the show this morning, I said, I was trying to explain to him the thing with the factions we got about Lasseter, you know. He wouldn't know Bob Lasseter from Robert Q. Lewis. I mean, he had no idea who he was. And you want to know why?
Why?
Like I told you this morning, because he's not a talk show person. He's not a radio person. He's a sports groupie. And the Beast knows that. That's your boyfriend, man. What he knows about radio, you can put in a thimble and have room for the Beast left over.
Not my boyfriend.
Well, it used to be, till you had that falling out.
I wasn't his roommate.
Oh, who was his roommate? Oh, Stu Gotz, excuse me. Now, let me ask you this, seriously, since Stu Gotz is the general manager across the street, which I find most amusing.
Yeah.
That would be like saying Donald Duck is the head of General Motors. Now, do you confabulate with him at all anymore? I mean, you
me?
Cross his... Yeah, I thought
the
he was
the only time
player.
I came across him was at the Super Bowl in Jacksonville last year.
Right.
And he came up to me and he goes, Beast, if I had the Hurricanes on my station, you'd be working for me.
What does that mean?
He was giving me like ego trip, like he had an ego.
How can somebody with so little talent have an ego? He got no. He does. Like I said before, when he was on our station, he does not belong on here even to say goodbye. Goodbye would be a good start. They not belong on the air.
They all have egos over there. They think
really?
They're dominating.
How can you have a share and have an ego?
They think they dominate.
They dominate what?
I don't know. That's if you talk to anyone from over there, they believe
have
they're
no
dominating.
Numbers.
They believe
no
we're
story.
We don't even
they
exist
have no
anymore.
Story. They're on a leased radio station. Okay, they have nothing. The only show that they can sell any spots on is Little Dog, and he's pissed off because he's got no show anymore because he's all jammed up with spots, which used to be his big bitch when he was on the worst team. Those long spot breaks, and now he's over there with like all the spots on the station because who wants to buy the rest of that garbage? And the booster ain't on half the time anyway. Wow. Stu Gotz. See, Hank created like, not Frankenstein, but Igor. Doesn't he remind you of Igor a little bit? WQAM, hello. QAM. Oh, now see, this is doing the same thing it was doing before. Uh-oh.
Hit it again. Careful.
Uh-oh. See, I hit the button, and now I think you're going to have to reboot, eh?
Yeah.
Not good. Why is this happening now?
One of those things.
Yeah, I'm hitting three and doing that same, that little
right,
mushroom
thing. All right, yeah, I'll reboot it.
Oh, that's bad. So reboot it. Can't take no calls right now. That's bad. That happened with Bob, too, when you had him on the bat line for a
right.
second. So I think you got to reboot it on your end. It's definitely on your end, okay? Beast, take a look on his end, okay?
Rectum.
And see what the problem is. It looks like there's shrooms. Maybe they're like Moe's Dingleberries.
I've seen those before.
Maybe he left a few laying around. They're like sprouting now, like bean sprouts. The last thing most guys want to be called is... Oh, look at the phones are going nuts, but I press it and, like, see, there's that little... I love looking at that thing, though. It's pretty interesting.
Well, it's actually, you're actually picking it up, but it's going into the headset.
It's going, well, I don't have no headset. It's going into your headset?
The headset that the producer would wear to answer the phone.
I see. So, in other words, the Beast could hear it if he had the headset on, but we don't have one that wide. Anybody who never saw the Beast, by the way, his head is wider than most apartment buildings. Anybody ever call you a fathead?
No.
You really are. I mean, you're. I think the only person I can think of with a bigger head besides Joe Rose is, that's it. The three of you, man. Go to the head of the class. 1688. The last thing most guys want to be called is fag 422. My bitch 252. Boy, I sure wish we could play prison, bitch. Can't do it. The P word, 200. I almost said it. Oh.
Careful.
Coward, 144. A loser, 136. Effeminate, 95. Don't call me effeminate. I'm just a little out of the ordinary. Whip, 56. Fat, 56. That's this station by. That could be a new logo. Fat, 56. How do you like it?
We'll get right on it.
I can give a package right now.
Hey, Brian.
Fat, 56. Oh, I love it. Wimp, 54. Liar, 43. A-hole, 36. Oh, my. Dumb, 34. Like your president. A phony, 33. Ugly, 31. Pretty, 18. Fruitcake, 17. Crook, 16. Cheap, 15. And what we call Tom Brady? Tom Pretty Brady. Beautiful.
Okay.
Well, I'm asking the Beast. He's a Patriots fan.
Yeah, what about him?
Never mind. Fruitcake, 17. Crook, 16. Cheap, 15. A wannabe, 15. Scrawny, 8. Beautiful, 6. And gorgeous. Only Norma Kent says... Oh, my God, is he gorgeous.
This is Neil Rogers.
He had a little swelling when he saw Tom Welling.
This is 560 QAM.
Absolutely.
For Texas Twin, the guitar on my knee. While they died in Louisiana, I raised cash for the GOP. Oh, Katrina, don't put no blame on me. Cause I come from my vacation for a photo opportunity.
Swing your partner round and round. Now do a little swimming through New Orleans town. Swim to the left, to the right, here we go. Sling a little mud, now do-si-do.
Oh, Katrina, why didn't those people flee? Cause it's worse in Louisiana than it is for an Iraqi.
Oh! This year, ring in the holiday season with a voice that rings as clear as a jingle bell. It's a Macy Gray Christmas. Award-winning vocalist Macy Gray sings in a style that's beyond compare and a language that's beyond comprehension. On a Macy Gray Christmas, Macy sings all her Yuletide favorites like "Hi There Ain't Ya Hang," "Right Here," and this indecipherable classic. A Macy Gray Christmas.
A Macy Gray Christmas is available at your local gas.
Excuse me, but I do believe that's just ass.
12:48, 12 minutes to 1. Boy, we got an award-winning lineup today, or what?
No.
It is incredible. Got that Panther game against the Red Wings tonight at the Mac Arena. Any interest whatsoever?
No. Jesse Agler is very excited.
Jesse Algy is very excited about that because he gets to do the pregame at 7, well, the pre-pregame at 7 to 7:30. Is that why he's excited?
Very excited.
Well, he better do a really good job in there, or Denise Potvin will come in and take his slot. Denise, shut the hell up already, okay? Let Dave Strader call a game. He's getting better with the Panthers every game. He's improving, getting excited about the team now that they actually won a game. And you shut up, Denise. Only speak when you're spoken to, and hopefully nobody will speak to you. God. Bop, 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 bop. Just like Rimmer always said, that's the one thing I'll say that Rimmer was right bang on about, and that was, or spot on about, and that was Denise Potvin, man. Good golly, Miss Molly. Oh, and the phones are working again now, so let's not waste our time, right, with nonsense?
Right.
QAM, hello.
Yes, you do a good crossover with Hank in the morning. How about a good one with the Mo Man in the afternoon and just beat each other's brains out?
No,
he already tried that one day. He already he appeared out of nowhere. A voice came on, and no, that wasn't going to work out. I'm not interested. Why do I want to? See, I like Hank. Hank and I are good friends. We've known each other for years, and we worked together many, many times. We like each other a lot, and we have something in common. As opposed to at 2 o'clock, we hate each other like poison. We have nothing at all in common. I mean, absolutely, positively.
Absolutely.
Nothing. Zero. And, you know, in his case, there's no common ground, and he doesn't allow any room for common ground. So why do I want to aggravate myself after, like, doing my 4 hours and 5 minutes or whatever it is every day? That's enough. I don't have any gigantic ego that I need defeated by being on here longer than 4 hours. Not to mention certain people in the morning on Sirius Radio. You know what I'm saying? Boy, now that he's on there, what's he going to be on, like 7 hours a day?
About 30, man.
30 hours a day, the Stern Show. And for what they're paying him, he ought to be. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Ron.
WQAM, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Turn
that radio down, man. I can hear it so loud it's coming through my innards. My colon is twitching. What do you got, Pally?
Have it to Neil.
What is it?
Neil.
Yeah, yeah. Hello?
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 Hola.
Goodbye. WQAM, hello.
Hi, Neil, how you doing?
Pretty good, Pally.
Neil, something about, you know, talking about Sirius Satellite, Sirius Radio yesterday. A year ago, Sirius had about 200,000 subscribers.
Right, now they have 2 million.
Once Howard Stern signed on, it has become over 2 million, like you mentioned yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, that guy who called about the stock rocketing down. I bought that stock a year ago at 260. That stock has only gone up. Right now, yesterday, the other day, the high was like 750. When he called
yesterday... So you made a lot of money on it then?
Well, I bought 2,000 shares.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this.
Loan me $50.
Anytime, buddy, for you.
Okay.
Hey, and so as far as rocketing down, I mean, come on, it's only gone. Yesterday was at 680. Okay?
I have good news for you. It's doing better than BBGI.
Oh, it's doing a lot. I bought a share
it's
one.
Better than that Beasley stock, man. It was up to 18. Now it's like $13 and change. And last time I checked, 13 was a real unlucky number.
Oh, definitely. I bought shares of Microsoft, a micro company, one of those dot-coms. And I bought it at, I think it was like 40 cents at one time. That thing never went past a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay, so I lost some money there. So as far as Sirius Satellite and all that, it's coming along. Like you said yesterday, they're going to combine, and it's going to be one big satellite thing.
There you go.
With the XM and stuff. Everybody's competing too much. You see the Snoop Dogg customers?
They'll save a little nook and cranny there for me one of these days. You never know.
Well, enjoy your holidays, my friend.
Thanks, Pally.
Take care.
Let's get rid of that stock. Uh-oh.
Down to 6.7, don't buy BBGI.
Oh, yeah, that Beasley stock, man. It's just when you work in this company and you see the way they operate and Joyce and the whole thing, corporate legal, it just makes you shake your head and just laugh your ass off. Then you know for sure, when you find out these people are on listed on the stock market and people are actually getting conned into buying stock in this outfit, then you know for sure that the stock market is one big scam, although some of us already discovered that. 5670560, pound 560 in the Verizon Singular Wireless Line. WQAM, hello.
Oh, yeah, that
Beasley
stock, man.
WQAM, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, talk to Neil, please.
Speaking, please.
Neil.
Yeah.
It's time to play Name the Joy. Oh,
that's it? Oh, he was just getting started, I thought.
Do the whole musical.
Oh, that was good. Doi, 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 doi. You got to do it a little more emphatically, man. Work on your doing, man.
I wonder if I have that.
I wonder if a goy does a doy. Or is that like a Jew thing? WQAM, hello.
Are they going to renew Robert Lugo's contract? To answer for the goalies? Answer goalies?
567-0560, pound 560 on the Verizon and Singular wireless lines. You wouldn't know Bobby Luongo if he shoved 14 pucks up your
rectum
butt, but you might enjoy it a lot from the sound of your from your drift. Was he drifting a little bit?
A little bit.
WQAM, hello.
I'm your favorite caller.
WQAM, hello.
They worship God. They worship money.
Oh, there he goes talking about the Beasleys again. By the way, anybody want to buy any spots? In fact, if you buy a spot for a buck, we'll promise never to say anything bad about you on the air for the next 100 years. We'll promise. Swear to God. WQAM, hello. QAM.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I am one of those that I remember Bob Lasseter and you and Buzz and Rick, Phil, back in SUN days.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you this. Was Phil on SUN or was he... Wait a minute. Was Phil with us then, or was it just Randy and Rick and Suds and me?
It was all four of you at one point for a short time, because I had a driving job that took me to Ocala every day, and, you know, I was able to catch, like, bits and pieces every show, like that whole lineup. And that was just the greatest time for me to get a job. I mean, you get back to back to back. I mean, the shows were great, and I just enjoyed every minute of it. And it's fun to kind of let you know I'm one of those few that do remember Blob, and you know, you and Bob and Phil are just some of the greatest, you know, talk radio I've ever listened to. So.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot,
Thank you,
Pally.
For the good time.
Have a great generic holiday. Okay. 5670560, pound 5. So, yeah, those were some fun times. We had a good time. Mm-hmm. We had some nice meals at Donatello's, man.
Right.
Best regards to my good, close, personal friends at Donatello's on Dale Mabry there in Tampa, and also to Vern Laxer, who's dead, over there at Vern's Steakhouse.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I told you, I almost got pneumonia that night. He invited me to dinner there. After, you know, not because I ate there, but I was very sick. And he gave me the tour of the kitchen and the wine cellar. And that great comment, he said to me, I never try to repay kindness. I appreciate all the people you've sent over here, a zillion people from South Florida. But I never try to appreciate kindness with a similar favor. In other words, you're going to pay.
Nice.
Which was okay, but it just seemed kind of odd that he would go out of his way to say that. You know, like, if you think you're getting a freebie here, forget about it, okay?
I never repay kindness with kindness. It's just
right.
You know,
in other words,
good.
He was a real bastard. Now he's dead.
I almost got engaged there.
At Burns Steakhouse?
Yes.
Now, listen, I don't think that's a good place. I've never been in there, because when I was going there, that was back during my UM baseball days, which I was great, by the way. But they didn't have that dessert room upstairs. Oh, so in other words, you've been in there.
Oh, 3, 4, 10, 15
I want
times.
You to say a word. I want you to say two words that they said after the Holocaust, okay? You know what they are? Never.
Again.
Excellent.
This is Neil Rogers.
All right.
This is 560 QAM.
One, two, 2 hour. Hi, Vay.
Well, what are they going to do? 560 Eddie. I am over here, and I'm not over there. So, Gildy took you to lunch, huh?
Yes, and he made me pay for it.
Why, that's no good, Mother.
Made me want to sacrifice myself on the sacred altar of Bush. Oh.
That reminds me of the time I had lunch with him in New York. We were sitting in the Molly Peacock room in the Second Avenue Deli.
He's a nice, great folk. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, there's good eating half. They got a picture of Pat Cooper on the wall. See over there?
Oh, yeah.
He's a good pickle.
Yeah, you ate them all.
Well, by the way, sir, who's done more for pickles? The classic stork or Sally Fitz?
Are you ready to order your beverages, gentlemen?
I'll have a coach, poker, cooler.
And you, sir?
You see that there? He called me sir. Now, that's a man who knows who I am.
You'll have a Dr. Brown's Black Wrath.
Bumperberry.
With a twist of lime, of course.
No lime? Did I say lime?
Surely you're a man of discerning taste. I highly recommend a twist of lime.
Just bring it in Dr. Brown's plane before I twist your nose.
Very good, sir.
Get a load of that, Doctor. Lime in Dr. Brown's. Do I look like Goyim?
They got coleslaw on this shit.
So what if I do? I'm leaving anyway.
What are you leaving for?
Well, I thought you ought to end this bit. You know, choice at all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
That's it. 103 at 560 WQAM. Happy Thursday to December 15th, man. The big day is coming soon. You know what big day that is?
No, what?
Not Christmas. Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
George will be on all the week next week, unless he has to go up to wherever it is, North Carolina.
Well, St. Augustine is where they're in the hospital.
St. Augustine?
I love St. Augustine. That's not a problem. It's just I won't be having any fun.
On the trip?
My former stepfather. You know, they got divorced.
I see.
But they still hang out.
What were they doing together? They weren't doing anything.
They still hang out because they're both miserable cusses that no one else can stand.
And they had a little bit of a wreck, and George was hoping, like, maybe fatal, but that didn't work out.
Hey, one way or another, man.
They were in the hospital in St. Augustine, but they're out now? Is that what you said?
Oh, I don't know, but supposedly they're fine, but they're in there because you know how old people, they bruise and all that.
Well, guess what? Greyhound buses run from Jacksonville to Miami every single day, over and over again, every hour and the hour.
They could ride on top.
Nice, clear sailing. Oh, maybe I was thinking more like tied to the back. Okay, we finished out the first pool, and now we got tomorrow's pool on there, which I'm sure that once they find... I don't know. Maybe they won't like this. I think it's a little introspection today, since I've been very introspective myself. George liked the pool.
Yeah,
it's a great idea. Well, first, here's the result from the other one, which was okay. The last thing most guys want to be called is Fag 425. How do you like that? Fag!
You fairy!
My bitch 258. The P-word 201. P-U... Coward 144. A loser 138. Effeminate 95. Whip 57, fat 57, beast. Only 57 people don't want to be called fat. They'd rather croak than be called fat.
That is true.
That's so? Wim 54, liar 44, a-hole 36, a phony 34. Boy, there ain't a dumb 34. There's nothing like a phony, dumb a-hole. Ugly 31, pretty 19. Boy, that guy sure is pretty. Sure got a pretty mouth, too. Fruitcake 17, crook 16. Cheap and a wannabe each have 15. Scrawny 8. Beautiful, 6, and gorgeous, solamente uno. That must be Norma voted for gorgeous, don't you think?
Must have been.
Wouldn't surprise me. Okay, here's a new poll for you to work on. It's always good to have a poll to work on. How do you rate yourself as a human being? Now, try to be objective. and maybe they actually are. Because I got you the letters of the alphabet. A, B, C. A, the best. B, pretty good. C, average. D, I got many flaws. E, not a good person. And F, I'm a piece of Schmidt. So far, the first 10 votes, I just stuck the new one on there, just swished it over. We got how many votes? 22, like I said. How do you rate yourself? Pretty good, B. 10, that was my vote. Pretty good. Not perfect, not, huh?
B, me too.
B. What about the beast? How do you rate your, B as in beast. Let me say it again. How about the beast?
I didn't catch all of the multiple choices.
A, the best. B, pretty good. C, average. D, I have many flaws. E, not a good person. And F, I'm a piece of Schmidt.
I would say D.
D, many flaws.
Just look at him.
Well, and of course, if it were F in your case, it would be an awfully big one. B, pretty good, has got 10. D, I have many flaws, 5, including the beast. C, average, 5. Well, what's wrong with being average?
Nothing.
F, I'm a piece of Schmidt, too. Oh, this is... E, I'm not a good person, none. And A, the best, none. Oh, my God, nobody's got that big of an ego. That's good.
That is good.
I'm surprised. I'm shocked, because I thought most people, they don't come any better than me.
You
know?
Just made a good point there about the ego. See, if you have such an ego that you would vote A, then you're actually a B.
So, in other words, you're really going to be a B, eh? Maybe you have a BA and being a jackass. I don't know. Sunni turnout heavy in Iraqi election. All right.
Oh!
Iraqis voted in a historic parliamentary election today with strong turnout reported in Sunni Arab areas. Several explosions rocked Baghdad throughout the day, but the level of violence was low. It was an accident, but not too many people got hurt. The heavy participation by the Sunnis, who had shunned balloting last January, bolstered U.S. hopes of calming the insurgency enough to begin withdrawing troops next year before that American election. That's what they're really worried about. Oh, boy. Because of the large turnout, the Iraqi Election Commission extended voting for an hour till 6 p.m. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Time, long since passed, as long lines were reported in some precincts. The commission said results will be announced within 2 weeks. Just long enough for them to phony him up. They've got to get to Catherine Harris over there. By the way, did you hear about her plane?
No, what about it?
Policemen guarding a polling place in eastern Baghdad's Zayuna neighborhood fired shots into the air to celebrate the end of voting there. But I'm kidding. When the polls opened, a mortar shell exploded near the heavily fortified green zone. A civilian was killed, as a matter of fact, at a voting site near Fallujah. But violence was minimal overall and did not appear to discourage Iraqis as they stuck their purple ink-stained index fingers up in the air. I noticed on the Fudge Report there's a lady on there. She's got her middle finger up there for Matt. She's saying,
"You fairy."
Yeah. She's on to you, Miss Fudge. Oh, brother, talk about a sellout. Pathetic. I might have to add that one to my list. Not quite as intensely as the other two.
Oh, yeah?
You don't think so?
Well, you tell me.
Like if that self-hating queen got run over by a freight train, you wouldn't you'd be upset about it?
No, I wouldn't be upset.
I think we'd have like a little party. Oh, speaking of parties. Oh, wait, that's right. Forget about it. 49 votes.
You bastard.
On the poll. Yes, I am. I don't really give a crap. I'm so sick and tired of all those uptight people in that place. Like I said, what they know about talk radio in at the QAM, you could shove in a thimble and have room for the beast ass left over there and 14 halibut pieces.
I think that might have to be a thumble, though.
How do you rate yourself as a human being? B, pretty good, 25. That's not a bad vote. D, many flaws, 9. C, average, 9. F, I'm a piece of Schmidt, 4. A, the best, 2. And E, not a good person, none. So we got two people are the best. Oh, God, I can't wait to meet them. WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
God, I don't think I've been able to get through to you for 8 years, maybe.
Well, here's your lucky day, man. This must be it.
It is. It's my lucky day. Thanks. I want to thank you for the inspiration to send me on my way on the trips I've made to Eastern Europe. I know you never went that far. I know you said
next year I'm going to Budapest and Prague. You been there?
No, I've been going farther than that, and I'm going to leave my specific location a mystery, but just to be able to say that every single moment chance I get, I'm over there and just loving
it. Well, let me ask you this question. Why would you want to leave your destination a mystery? Is there somebody tapping the call? Or?
No. But the best part about it is there's no Americans there.
Oh, no question about that.
And I'd like to keep it that way because that's the best part about it.
Exactly.
So I just want to thank you for the inspiration to get me the hell out of this country and send me on my way.
When I'm in across the pond the next week, I'll be sure and say hi to all your Eastern European friends for you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, good luck.
Peace.
Great, how do you like that? See, you guys got to get El Pasaporto, and the Beast's got a rich family there. He could they'll handle the tickets. You can stay in Al's old apartment in Amsterdam.
Right.
Oh, use the apartment. Use the poor Al, you know. I see, now there's a guy, I don't really want to talk to him because I don't know what I would say to him. You know what I mean? Now, Lassiter, I will call. Maybe when I'm on vacation, I'll get in touch with Bob. But Al, I mean, he's been through hell, and, you know, he's a good guy. He's got a good heart. He's just so over the top. He's like his own worst enemy, you know? He can't control himself. But he's got a good heart. Big, big fat one, I'm sure. But
right.
I wonder what he looks like now. Can you imagine? Because he's lost so much weight in that Rikers Island. You know, when you go to prison for an extended time like Al did, and when they're tearing your kishkis out, and when you have no money, boy, they just... You know, take a look at the history. Lenny Bruce, Larry Flint, Al Goldstein. It's just one after another. They just go after him relentlessly. They just tear him to pieces and even shoot him if they have to. Tear him to shreds. Because we have to bring decency back to America. We have to go turn the clock back and go back into the dark ages, man. All you people watching those damn pornographic shows on the cable. We'll take care of that pretty soon, too. And that satellite radio, you think that they're going to get away with saying a bunch of crap on air? You just wait. After Stern utters the first F word on air, then we'll have Sam Brown back. He'll be on the bandwagon. They'll be thumping the old bandwagon or whatever they're thumping. You'll see. Well, we got to do something about this. Children might be listening. Children, you know. Of course, all the children are getting killed with guns running around. And why we even care about that? Don't mess with our guns. Don't F with our guns. But words, man, the word police are pretty pissed off. That's why we can't say nothing no more. Plus, we got Joyce, who's an idiot. WQAM, hello.
Neil?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please bring back the lightning round?
Oh, it's not a ma'am. It's a simpleton.
Neil?
Yeah?
Please bring back the lightning round.
No, I don't think we do the lightning round every day, in case you haven't noticed.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. That was just two guys to my voice. They had a pliers out squeezing his nuts. That was definitely Stu Goss. Couldn't you tell, Beast?
No, it didn't sound as never mind.
As gravelly, as grotesque. He's got a really grotesque voice. You know what I mean? Unpleasant, gravelly. Kind of like that bit. Oh, you got it on that cart there. Don't look for it. It's not. Do I have it?
All right,
what is that
you
called?
Won't have it.
What is it with a question mark on it?
I don't know.
How could I have a bit in the VCS that starts with a question mark? Get all gravelly here, yep. 5670 and that what KXRK thing. Now, don't look for those. I don't want to hear them because, all believe right. me, they're not that great. 113 and 5. Speaking of not that great, don't forget Mo coming up. You sure want to miss that at 2. I urge everybody to listen to the show that follows me because the show that precedes him is what his problem is in life, no matter which one it is. Oh, boy. It's just, I just worn out. I have no words to describe it anymore. Any Mo. When you're shopping for shoes, comfort, fit, and value, those are the three ingredients that ought to pop into your mind, like kind of like just like that. So do the smart thing and do your shoe shopping at a great place, Brandy's Shoes in Pompano Beach. Brandy's carries a humongous selection of all the top brands like Rockport, Florsheim, Echo, Mephisto, New Balance, SAS, and lots more. And Brandy's professional shoe fitters will make sure you've got a perfect, customized fit of your favorite comfort shoe every time. Just ask for Arnie. He'll make sure you get the right fit and at the right price as well. The pros at Brandy's even specialize in wide widths for people like the Beast who've got big, fat feet, a fat head, a fat pupik, and fat feet. Brandy's is worth the trip from just about anywhere. At least there's consistency there. Brandy's is worth the trip from just about anywhere in town. For comfort, style, fit, value, and selection, always think Brandy's Shoes. And you'll find Brandy's in the same great location they've been doing for years and years, 1290 North Federal Highway in Pompano Beach. Brandy's is open daily till 9, Sundays till 5, and this week a stupendous time for extra savings at Brandy's. Take 20% off on selected men's and women's styles. Choose from SAS, Naturalizer, Florsheim, Sperry, and Rockport. So be sure to get your ass into Brandy's this week, or do your shoe shopping sitting right there on your fat ass on their website at brandyshoes.com.
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
What a QM. You know, those Iraqis, two things. Number one, they really are incredibly ugly. And number two, you notice how they're all holding up those purple fingers? And a couple other guys I saw smelling those fingers.
Yeah, well, I wonder what they smell like.
Careful now.
I'm careful.
Oh, speaking of...
Rectum.
Here's an email. I'll tell you, this day has been, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's one hell of a day.
An email from Norma Kent.
Oh.
This will crack you up. And I guess it's true. It says, I was able to deal with the fact that the State Revenue Agency sent me a tax return to Norma Kent Enterprises, but I recently made a donation to the Broward General Hospital Cancer Foundation, where they put your name on one of those fancy brass trees. So I called them up and asked why my plaque read Norma Kent on it instead of Norm, and the lady there said, well, aren't you... Listen. And the lady there said, well, aren't you the Norma Neil Rogers refers to on the radio all the time? Norma says, okay then, eh? How do you like that?
Oh,
the power of
Neil God.
Oh, my God. That is choice. That's a beautiful thing. Well, you know, when you see Norma, you know it. You know what I'm saying? When you see a Norma. I have a cousin named Norma, but it's like a she. But nevertheless, so is a Norma. Patriot Act's fate remains uncertain. Roving wiretaps and the ability to peek into private medical records are among the provisions of the Anti-Terror Patriot Act that will remain intact if the Senate follows the House lead on the bill. By a 251-174 vote yesterday, the U.S. House agreed to review 16 of the Act's provisions that were set to expire at the year's end. The bill now heads back to the Senate, where a fiercer battle is expected. The Patriot Act is essential to fighting the war on terror and preventing our enemies from striking America again, President Bush said in a statement praising the House vote. In the war on terror, we can't afford to be without this law for a single moment. Among the provisions the House proposes to extend is one allowing the FBI, with a court order, to place wiretaps on every phone a suspect uses, a procedure called a roving wiretap, and another permitting the agency to obtain personal records, including medical documents and library activity. Uh-huh. Watch what books you start checking out. With Senate approval, these investigative tools will be available for the FBI for another 4 years. The majority of the act, however, has no expiration date. They're going to come knocking on your door. Well, guess whose column I got here? You'll never guess. I'll give you 4,000 guesses.
Oh, what's his name from Capitol? Doug Thompson.
Excellent guess. The rant. The White House's bitter debate over admitting a mistake. See, now I got to catch up on lost time because I got a few. Not like a... Just enough. Just enough to kill some... I mean, to pass along some fantastic information. Don't forget, by the way, look for that QAM van right now at the Hess Station at 107th Avenue, 41st Street in Doral. Stop by to drop off new unwrapped toys for the Big O's Holiday Toy Drive.
Rock solid.
To benefit Miami Children's Hospital. That's 107th Ave and 41st Street in Doral. They'll be there until 2 in the p.m. Doug Thompson says the White House is bitter debate over admitting a mistake. Thank God we got people at QAM who admit their mistakes in management, you know? The debate that erupted in the Oval Office after Presidential Chief of Staff suggested President Bush publicly admit that he led the country to war on the basis of false intelligence information rocked senior White House aides. How do you like that?
Rocked
the White House. The anger that spilled from political guru Karl Rove's lips was, according to those present at the meeting, the most vocal disagreement anyone had ever seen from the trusted advisor in front of the president. Discussions with those privy to the many meetings on determining the president's strategy show most senior aides lining up against Rove, who's a roving maniac. This is a stupid effing idea, Rove said, his voice shaking. This is a stupid effing... Yeah. This president doesn't admit mistakes. The leader doesn't acknowledge error. But Card, bolstered by the president's willingness to try a new approach in speeches on Iraq policy, admitting some mistakes while vowing to complete the mission in Iraq, pushed for the big one, a public presidential admission that the intelligence information used to sell the war to Congress and the American peoples was wrong in the claims that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? Posed an immediate threat to the U.S., or that proof existed of a link between Saddam Hussein and Osama Yamama. I thought we already knew all those things. All of these things. Armed with polls that show the president rebounding in public approval after his first speeches, Card pushed for the big one. A presidential admission that the primary reasons given for the Iraq war was wrong, with Bush still insisting the war was justified. It was, Card admitted, a risky strategy. The press and public could zero in on the false intelligence and the president's many claims that the intel was correct and missed the overall point of the speech, but the chief of staff argued that the risk was worth taking. The intelligence was flawed, Card said. Everyone in the nation knows that. It's time we admitted the truth. Rove wasn't convinced. The White House continued to claim that it had more access to intelligence than the public and could claim that information supported the earlier reports. That won't fly, Card said. The truth is out on this. As long as we continue to deny the truth, the president's credibility is at stake. Bush wavered but came down on Card's side when Karen Hughes, the presidential confidant that Bush trusts even more than Roe, sided with the chief of staff. Bush's speech delivered yesterday went through more than a dozen drafts before settling on the language the president would use. It is true that much of the intelligence turned out to be wrong, Bush said in the final draft. As president, I'm responsible for the decision to go into Iraq, but in typical Bush style, the president remained committed to the war. Saddam was a threat, and the American people in the world is better off because he's no longer in power, he'd be saying. The debate over admitting the use of false intelligence marked the second straight defeat for Rove in determining the president's course that he's trying to resell his Iraq war to a skeptical American public. He argued against the current strategy used by Bush to admit some suspects, saying a real leader doesn't act that way. Some White House aides say the president's willingness to ignore the advice of his most trusted aide signals Bush's wariness with Rove's scorched-earth political strategies. The president realizes that listening to Carl got him in the fix in the first place, and that he's in now, said one senior GOP consultant, who, like all who comment on Bush for publication, insisted on anonymity for fear of angering their president. He's listening to others now and taking their advice. That's why you're seeing a new approach. In addition to which, there just might be another indictment coming down in that whole blame game, you know what?
That's right.
Well, that would be a good bit for Boca Bryan, though. We got that name game, right?
It's cute, right?
The plane game. I likes it. 27 past 1 as we inch closer and closer toward that magical moment at 2.
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
Using the power of money and fast deals to take the votes away from those Christ-killing Jews, it's the Hate Squad! Yes, the Hate Squad is coming to your house this Christmas! Two hating Republican action figures that teach you how to participate in good Christian Republican partisan rhetoric. Hate is those Christ-killing Jews, even if it was the Romans, but they weren't Jewish. Our followers are Christian soldiers like Rush Limbaugh.
To the left,
Papa Bush.
1,000 points alive.
With Junior in tow. And space magnet Dick Cheney.
Latex power pills sold separately.
Each action figure comes with its own 12-page propaganda book. Explaining how the Jews were bred from rats. Send your proof of purchase for a free swastika armband and an additional LNC self-hating Uncle Tom. But hurry, these action figure sets are available for a short time only at Schutz Papanara.
How's the Alan Key's lesbian daughter doing?
I bet she's doing well.
She's still ripping him an ass, so I like it. You go, Dikey, wherever you are. U.S. tells Cuban team, you're out. Too bad Miguel's not there today. He would just be squeezing his kneecap so excited about this. A Cuba story. It was Cubans. I wonder if Emmy Schaefer is still alive. We got to check that. I know Tom Schaefer sleeps with the fishes, but I wonder if old Emmy Schaefer is still alive.
It was Cubans. Cubans.
She was a real piece of work. Cuba's hopes of playing in the World Baseball Classic next spring have been dashed. The U.S. Department of Treasury denied Major League Baseball the license required for the team to participate. The move came after Cuban-American members of Congress urged the Treasury to veto the license application and asked Major League Baseball to drop the Cuban team from the tournament, or as Ron Fraser would say, the tournament. Did nobody say Beast?
Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
You don't even know who. You wouldn't know Ron Fraser.
Yes, I do. I know the coach.
You wouldn't know old Ron Fraser.
The wizard of college baseball, my friend.
Yeah. Actually, he never really did any coaching. Skip Bertman did the coaching, and he was just a PR guy. Plus, he was busy doing other things.
Like?
We are... Just calm down. We are very disappointed with the government's decision to deny the participation of a team from Cuba. Major League Baseball and the Players Association said in a statement yesterday, we will continue to work with appropriate channels in an attempt to address the government's concerns and will not announce a replacement unless and until that effort fails. The first World Baseball Classic will be an 18-day tournament in March featuring 16 teams of mostly professional players from North and Latin America, Asia, Europe, Australia, and Africa. The games will be played in Tokyo, Puerto Rico, Florida, Arizona, and California, according to its managers. Well, I guess there won't be any Marlins in that because it says mostly professional players. But since the participating teams will reap some financial benefit from the tournament, the Cuban team needs a license from Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, which enforces the U.S. embargo against Cuba. I think the Beast would have enjoyed my conversation with Ron Fraser in the hotel in Omaha one year during the College World Series when I said to him in the lobby, I said, Ron, we may not be the best team here in Omaha, but we're the only team that's got two drug dealers. What? See, I wasn't supposed to know these things, and it was not that I'm nosy, but you couldn't help but to know. The word was around. Oh, and speaking of that spot we got about the pickles, or that bit, whatever it is, they left J. Rokeach out of that. You better do something about it. You better straighten that out. Now, who is it that's approaching him to hire him, J. Rokeach? He's got offers all over. Oh, the other station?
To do some work.
Please. Well, that would be great.
Welcome to Mark Light Stadium.
Welcome to Mark Light Stadium. And here are your Miami Hurricanes. When he's 87, he'll still be sitting up there in that booth with the Mike Rosenthal with Rosie. Hey, what do you think, Rosie? How the canes this year. Treasury's decision came as the Bush administration has been tightening U.S. trade and travel sanctions on Havana over the past year in a declared bid to deny resources to the government there and prepare the way for political changes once Cuban Fidel Castro is no longer in power. In other words, once he croaks already, for crying out loud. It's unknown how much money the Cuban baseball team might have earned by playing in the Classic. Tournament profits will be largely determined by how much its organizers can get for broadcast rights. Oh, let's get those games on.
Oh.
Come on, Clarence, let's start working on it. Congressional members across the political spectrum waded into the issue. New York Democratic Representative Jose Serrano, who enjoys friendly relations with the Castro government, had urged that the Cubans be allowed to play. They want to play. Let's keep politics out of this, he said in a statement. But Miami Republican Representative Lincoln Diaz-Balart, rhymes with bad egg fart, called the U.S. decision appropriate and correct. He had previously urged Major League Baseball to allow Cuban defectors already playing in professional teams to form a Cuba team for the event. Defectors. Not like real Cubans, no mo. In a letter he sent to Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig last week, he likened inviting Cuba's team to asking apartheid-era South Africa to join a tournament. Well, they sure are like, talk about silly panderers, you know what? It's just ridiculous. So if you want to go to Cuba, just fly up here and fly right out. No problem. 80 zillion flights leaving every day. By the way, it's getting really murky and cloudy. I just looked on the radar, and that big snowstorm is just almost here. Probably arrive right at 2 o'clock when I want to go out and get some last-minute crap.
Good timing.
Yeah. Not good. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about stuff, travel crap, you know?
Right, I'm being sarcastic.
I mean, you're used to packing for those long-distance trips.
Yeah, or just packing.
163 votes on our poll. How do you rate yourself as a human being? You know, we also ought to do one. How do you think other people rate you? But I guess it would be the same, right? Or not?
Too close.
Yeah, but you see where I'm going with that?
No, I know.
Right off the deep ends. How do you rate yourself as a human being? 163 votes. B, pretty good. 83. That seems to be the general. Nothing wrong with that. That's me. That's George. And the B said G, which is one step below F. C, average 31. D, I have many flaws, 26. Boy, we're sure proud of you, but to butch up. A, the best, 13. How do you like that? 13 people out there better than we are. Man, we better start working on it. F, I'm a piece of Schmidt, 12. Those must be the callers. And E, I'm not a good person, none. So in other words, either you're pretty good, you're okay, or you're not a good person. See, I'm saying E has got none. Don't you find that a little bizarre?
It is bizarre.
It's strange. Like I said, like most of our callers, it's strange. Although there aren't any on there right now. What happened to line 10? We don't have a line 10.
Right.
Did I just notice that for the first time, line 10 and 11?
If that's the first time you've noticed it, then yeah.
but I got a button for line 10 that doesn't do anything, and I got a button for line 11 that also doesn't do anything.
Well, then push it harder.
Okay, I'm pushing it. WQAM, hello.
Yeah, all right, Kurt.
What is it?
Could I speak?
Go ahead. Speak up.
I want to talk with you, bro.
Yeah.
How about some Red Wing tickets for tonight, man? Come on.
Raspberry. They got plenty available at the box office, okay? They'll give them to you like, for about 30 cents.
About 30, man.
Yeah, have no fear. How about some Red Wing? What a cheap bastard, huh? That's just, you know, that line 10 thing, though, there used to be a black thing there. I think when you rebooted it, the little black square disappeared. That's why it looks so different.
Okay.
Do you see that on your unit?
It looks the same as it always has.
What? There's no square there?
No.
Or you do have a square. Is it a Hollywood square?
No, it's a Triscuit.
No, seriously, is it a blank gray spot,
it's
or is it like
a... blank rectangular box there where a dot would be, but it ain't.
No. See, I don't got that no more. Wow. That's why it looks so different to me. And you're like making fun of, the old man's losing it.
No,
really,
it doesn't look any different.
Well, it looks different here, man. It looks really bizarre. Line 9 works, though. QAM, hello. And back at you. That was Rick Riley responding to your vicious attack on him earlier, especially at the holidays. Uncalled for.
Which holiday?
Unacceptable. Whatever one he's celebrating. Oh, that's right. He found Jesus on the front lawn when he was running around in his underwears with his cheerleading wife.
This is Neil Rogers.
Happy holidays, suds.
This is 560 QAM.
All right, sports fans.
Now, from Washington, the McLaughlin Group, featuring Eleanor Cliff, Jack Jamond, and sitting in for Pat Buchanan, New York Giant Tiki Barber. Now, here's John McLaughlin. Issue 1, George W., Rings or Vault? Eleanor Cliff!
Well, John, I'd have to say...
Wrong! Jack Jamond!
Well, that's not an easy choice.
Wrong! Tiki Barber!
I'm going to have to say the book.
Wrong! Actual answer, floor exercise!
That wasn't even a choice!
Next issue, Al Gore! Favorite Broadway show, Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Punk, or Cats? Eleanor G., I think you're swelling off.
Well, John, I'd have to say...
Wrong! Jackie, Big Jamond!
Well, that's a very difficult choice.
Wrong! Tiki Barber!
I'm going to have to say Rent.
Not a choice, Reeky Tiki Barber.
You gave an answer last time that wasn't a choice.
Wrong! Correct response, Cats. He loves them. Next issue, the cast of Big Brother should be murdered. How? Eleanor.
Guillotine.
Wrong, Jack Jamond.
Dynamite.
Wrong, Tiki Barber.
I don't think they should be killed.
Wrong, actual answer, poison pudding. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 146 at QM, there's another old nugget. One of those chestnuts that David Hosley used to talk about. I bet you last year to remember David Hosley from INZ. Well, what a, and also Mark, what was his name, the nervous guy? Mark Kuhn, K-U-H-N.
Okay.
You remember Mark Kuhn because he was at our meeting that time. Remember that the meeting in the hotel, the Paxson crowd? Wasn't Walter Sabo there that night?
Oh, that meeting. Yeah. I don't remember him, though. I remember the name. But
oh, he's scrawny, kind of very nervous. Like, what am I doing here? Very nervous. Oh, and I got a kid, and he doesn't want to hear. Are you ripping me on the ear? Kind of like Tim Williams, man. I wonder if Tim Williams is still in the business, although I don't think he ever really was. Probably his mommy don't own any radio stations anymore. So Timmy Williams ain't in the business. He got also very upset when I went to IOD and told what a jackass he was on here. I've got kids, man, and everybody listens to Neil Rogers. And you're, well, I think your kids probably already know you're a jerk. Oh, the Beast will like this story.
Okay.
Anyone visiting Biloxi in the days after Hurricane Katrina might reasonably have concluded it would be a long while before slot machines were again ringing their incessant chimes. The storm destroyed 9 of 10 floating casinos in Biloxi, and the 10 suffered significant damage. Yet so well-financed is the gambling industry and so profitable the facilities that line the beaches there that one casino was set to open its doors to the public December 22th. That's a week from today. Maybe we can send your ass there and get you a good machine, man.
Let's go.
Another is to reopen the day after Christmas. A third, the Palace Casino, will have spent $23 million in 4 months to be opened by New Year's Eve, said the general mangler, Keith Crosby. Well, I wonder if he's kin to Rita Crosby. Or maybe Bing. Or maybe Sidney Crosby, Sid the Kid. All 10 Biloxi casinos have told the city they'll rebuild, and most plan larger, more elaborate facilities. One, Harrah's Entertainment, Inc., the world's largest gambling company, has told city officials that it plans to invest as much as $1 billion. In a new resort casino, a figure sizable enough to catch people's attention even in Vegas, and a growing list of investors looking to take advantage of a new state law allowing the first ever land-based casinos is seeking an audience with city officials or state regulators in Jackson. Never did we believe that Jews like me and the Beast would be in Mississippi, but it's a shot. Because they'll sure be open long before these South Florida ones at Pompano Park and at Dania High Line and at Hollywood Greyhound and at Gulfstream. Right?
Right.
At least June, anyway. I'm thinking maybe July. I might have to come down there and see if Dick Feinberg will save me a really good machine.
I can't wait.
Can't wait for what? Slots? Bad news for you, man. You better use my adopt my strategy. I'm smelling you right now. Don't go there and like plunge your guts out every day. Don't become like hooked. Well, see, with me, I enjoy it. I have a good time. Lately, I've been winning a little bit, except for last night. Didn't lose too much. But if I never went again, I wouldn't be okay. But you, of course, you're addicted to gambling because you work at QAM, so you're gambling. You don't bet on ball games,
no,
do you?
No, that's ridiculous.
Please. When we came to that station and George said it was a sports bar with a microphone, I think it's a sports book with a microphone, you know?
It was worse back in the day.
Yeah, Donnie B., he was one of those plungers. And what was his name, Jason?
Jason Blasbog.
Jason Blasbog.
They were on the
internet.
And by
the way, Jason, I still have your copy of Shawshank Redemption. I haven't watched it.
He's in Newton, Massachusetts.
He's in Newton, Mass?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned. He's in Wayne Newton?
Selling insurance.
By the way, Wayne Newton's going to be at the Fallsview Casino in Niagara Falls. Any interest?
No.
I should have told the Humper about that. He'd probably zip right on up there.
I've seen Wayne live.
You have seen Wayne Newton live?
In Las Vegas. He shook my hand.
And let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Why?
Just
to say that I did.
Oh, how
me and a bunch of 90-year-olds.
For better or worse, casinos are the source of the rarest commodity along the Gulf Coast, battered by Katrina. Optimism. Legalized gaming, said Biloxi's mayor A.J. Holloway, is going to be what saves us. By contrast, inaction and uncertainty dominate the storyline in New Orleans, which remains largely in stasis. As businesses wonder...
Sorry.
What was that?
Wayne Newton.
Oh, we don't want to know. It's been such an interesting day, you know, and you're giving me like Wayne Newton, Daddy, don't you run so fast.
I know why Daddy was running fast, too.
Yeah, you want to get away from Wayne. You want to be seen next to him. New Orleans remains largely in stasis as businesses wonder if their customers will return and weigh the wisdom of rebuilding. It's not a question of whether the business community will take a huge hit, but how bad that hit will be, said Jay LaPierre, a local businessman who is chairman of the Business Council of New Orleans, speaks on behalf of more than 50 of the area's largest corporations. Casinos, of course, it says here, can make unpleasant neighbors. Biloxi residents complain about the traffic and the noise. The gambling palaces tower over a once quaint beach community of modest homes as if exotic outsized creatures crawled up from the beach and took root. One casino hotel in this town of 55,000 stands as the tallest building in Mississippi. Another reigns as the state's most expensive. Still, these garish Vegas refugees are proving resourceful, resilient neighbors by serving as an economic lifeline in a town that once lost a fifth of its housing stock and well over 10,000 jobs. And that's another thing nobody really talked too much about during this legislative bashing of the will of the voters, or at least attempt to deep six, is the jobs are going to be created. Thousands of new jobs, man. Not nearly as much revenue as they could have had if the legislature wouldn't have deep sixed them and put the 50% tax on it. See, it's not important that you guys succeed, but that we make sure we try to pull you out of business, even though we're partners with you. In fact, one of them rednecks said, well, I'll be damned if I want to see those paramutuals flourishing again. Well, what does that mean? The state is supposed to be in partnership with them. They share the revenue. Well, I'll be damned if we're going to make money through gambling. And by the way, where's my stinking lotto tickets?
This is Neil Rogers.
Not that there's hypocrites out
there. This is 560 QAM.
And this is G. Gordon Liddy, and they don't come any worse than Neil Rogers.
Absolutely.
Silent fire, holy crap, all is warm in my lap. It came out so silently. Now it's wilting the Christmas tree.
Cover the pies. Silent fart, deadly fart.
My cheeks were spread apart.
Rectum.
I guess I drank too much eggnog.
Dog.
Rover just cut the cheese.
All right.
Open the window, please.
Silent fart, full of methane. It don't smell.
The Brits to come up with a stupid expression like my bum. Oh, that rhymes with mum, though, as in the queen.
Yeah,
mum.
And dumb.
Yeah, as in the queen mum's bum.
I could use some Tums.
No, Rolaids, man. Oh. They got a new one for like the multi-purpose for gas and indigestion. Ooh, man, that's great stuff. The blueberry ones. You can just chew them like candy.
I like berries.
Oh, we got a heavy snow warning, man. We got like some flurries starting right now. Some Theo flurries coming down. Going to have like, they say a foot. I don't believe it. I just looked on the radar. It's, I don't know. But at least I got a little window of opportunity there to go up and get my last minute. I get the feeling I'm leaving tomorrow. I mean, there's no show tomorrow. But there is. In there?
Yeah, you betcha.
But why? How do you write this today? Now, let me ask you, of course you're going to say whatever I want to hear, but I mean, did I do the right thing today? I felt the spirit of Christ compelled me to.
Of course, just, it's a very interesting soap opera. You know, that's what the show is.
Well, of course, not only that, but the radio business in general is a soap opera,
right?
Really ugly one now. It used to be a lot of fun. Now it's just bastardized. It's pathetic. How do you rate yourself as a human being? 234 votes. B, pretty good, 122. C, average, 39. Now, let me ask you, Beast, during the break, did you go in and ask Mo how he votes on this?
No, I didn't ask him.
Oh, come on. I thought there'd be like a little bonding or something. C, average, 39. D, I have many flaws, 33. That was the Beast vote, and believe me, if you saw him, now we're not just talking about physically, we're just talking about as a human being.
Right.
Which certainly includes more than just your grotesque fat. A, the best, 23. Boy, I sure wish I knew those people, don't you?
What people?
The best.
Oh, the A people?
Yeah.
Sound like a bunch of A.
Yeah. Holes. F, I'm a piece of Schmidt, speaking of that 20. And E, not a good person, none. See, there's like a big gap there. A real big fat gap, speaking of the Beast. Anyway, the Mole Meister coming up next. I can't wait.
Bye, bye, bye.
When it comes to sports.
Blue 89. Blue 89.
We the authority. Sports Radio 560 WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
I like the creamsicles myself.
Oi! Oi! Oi!
Hi, this is Reggie Randy Moeller. Atlantic Coast Mortgage is the only mortgage company in South Florida at the same location since 1982. Why would you deal with someone else? One branch and ready to help serve you. If you want a free cruise, don't call them. If you want it to rain on a sunny day, don't call them. If you don't want to pay closing costs, don't call them. If you want great rates and you want to be treated with straight talk, call them at Atlantic Coast Mortgage in Dade. Call 305-944-0733 or in Broward or Palm Beach at 954-987-8077 for A Atlantic Coast Mortgage.
ORBB, that's Orange Bowl Basketball. ORB is a doubleheader basketball brawl featuring Coach Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles calling to the court the Nebraska Cornhuskers, followed by your hometown Hurricanes challenging NCAA Final Four powerhouse Louisville's Cardinals and their legendary coach Rick Pitino at the Metro PCS Orange Bowl Basketball Classic on Saturday, December the 31st at the Bank Atlantic Center in Sunrise, Florida, beginning at 1:30 p.m. But before that, there is more. ORB, Orange Bowl Basketball is going to the blacktop for the Orange Bowl Hoop It Up 3-on-3 presented by Metro PCS. Kids and adults of all ages can compete in six different age divisions to determine who is the best baller in South Florida. The blacktop battles start the morning of December the 31st outside the Bank Atlantic Center. To buy your tickets to the doubleheader or to register to play in the 3-on-3, call 305-341-4702 or log on to orangebowl.org. Think orange and get orbed. That's Orange Bowl Basketball.
Eric Reed, the voice of the Miami Heat, a weekly feature on this station, presented by Miccosukee Resort and Gaming. Tune in tomorrow at 3:30 with Howard David and Eric Reed, exclusively on Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Get ready to see the football stars of tomorrow play today. Will your team be there when they come out to play at this year's 7th annual Boston Market Orange Bowl Youth Football League Championships? This event takes place Saturday, December the 17th, and Sunday, December the 18th at the historic Orange Bowl in Miami. See the top teams from across six South Florida counties fighting it out on the gridiron to see who is the best Orange Bowl Youth Football team. For more information, log on to orangebowl.org or call the Orange Bowl at 305-341-4702. And remember, champions think orange and get the patch.
Hank Goldberg, weekday morning 7 to 10.
Stan Van Gundy joins us on Sports Radio 560 QAM.
A lot's been said about Pat looming over me and all of that. And, you know, just to make it very simple, Pat brought me into the NBA. I was unemployed at the time. Then Pat gave me a chance to be a head coach in the NBA. And then he allowed me to do what I wanted to do in this situation. And my family is set up that we can do this. I owe everything to the guy. And this is characterization that he was stabbing me in the back and things like that. It is just ridiculous and does not reflect the appreciation that I have for him and that my family has for him.
The Hammer, Hank Goldberg, 7 to 10, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Take a break and laugh out loud with Neil Rogers.
Hello, Neil?
Yes, sir.
Listen, you have a bit that goes, da-da-da, gay, oy. Hey, look, I'm like gay, man. I just like your show, man. I'm like gay.
Four Vikings charged with party boat misdemeanors. A guy named Lars, a guy named Sven.
I don't think it was
them. I don't
them.
Think so. I think it was Dante, Fred, Mo, and Bryant.
Oh, wasn't Leif Erickson?
And Leif Erickson, yes. I love the couple of things. Number one, today in his press conference, Mike Tice says, according to NFL rules and union contracts, there's a large difference between allegations and charges and convictions. That's true. Type said just before his routine news conference, so until at any point there's a conviction of some type, if there is, I have no action to take and nothing to say except anybody want to buy tickets to the Super Bowl.
He also has four tickets up front for the trial.
I understand. That'd be good. Reports say that some women at the party were paid to come from out of state. Well, sure. Do you want to have the women from Minnesota going to your party with mucklucks and Eskimo outfits?
As long as you bring a beard trimmer, I think it'll be okay.
That'd be perfect. Well, if you're going to throw a party, you are importing, aren't you? I mean, at least from South Dakota, North Dakota, Milwaukee. No, not Milwaukee. Ixnay on Milwaukee. How about Detroit? There's a lot of nice-looking women there.
Motown.
Motown's cool. That and then what about the story about the head of the NAACP in Philadelphia? Are you serious with this?
Yeah, but he didn't write it as representing the NAACP. Remember that.
Yeah, but here's my thing. Here's the thing I don't understand. Doesn't the NAACP have something more to do with than to question whether or not Donovan McNabb runs with the football or passes it? I mean, is Donovan McNabb like, what, the dartboard this year? First Rush Limbaugh picks on him. Then Terrell Owens.
Rush Limbaugh and the NAACP has something in common.
Yeah, and in between, Terrell Owens. Right? And they're all picking on this guy. Why? Because he's a stand-up citizen and his mom makes him soup. Come on. I mean, that's not right. The Heat last night. Nice job. I got a question about the Heat game last night. First of all, the 2-0 under Riley. Both wins on the road, by the way. And aren't you now wondering this? 3 days after the press conference where Van Gundy said he wanted to spend more time with his family and Riley was accused of being a backstabber and all of these kinds of things. You want to learn about backstabbing? Go to contact some of the people that work here in this toilet. They major in backstabbing, particularly that little dumpy guy. You know, the pork chop's close personal friend. Anyway, do you now believe that Van Gundy slash Riley, do you now believe their stories? Number one. Number two, do you care? Number three, how much of your opinion is going to be based on a 2-0 start for Riles? Dolphins-Jets this weekend. The Jets have a 9-game regular season road losing streak. Does it go to 10 this week? You would think so.